This is VOA News. I'm Victor Beatty. President Donald Trump has warned Syria's President Bashar al-Assad, Iran, and Russia not to recklessly attack rebel-held Idlib province. He said hundreds of thousands could be killed. In a tweet, Mr. Trump said the Iranians and Russians would be making a grave humanitarian mistake in what he called this potential human tragedy. He added, don't let that happen. The U.S. has also warned Washington would respond to any chemical attack. Trinity University historian David Lesh doubts that will have any impact on the planned assault of the Northwest Province.
Well, I think he's checking all the boxes and making sure he's showing his opprobrium before the fact, because frankly speaking, I don't think there's anything the United States can do about it. I think Russia and the Syrian government and their allies are dead set on taking over Idlib, either in a phased way or an all-out massive invasion.
The province of some 3 million people and surrounding areas are the last major rebel enclave in Syria. Iran's foreign minister, Mohammad Javad Zarif, speaking in Damascus Monday, said the job of rebuilding Syria is imminent. He said the leaders of Iran, Turkey, and Russia are to meet in Tehran Friday to discuss that and dealing with the terrorist groups in Idlib. Chinese President Xi Jinping, hosting more than 50 African heads of state Monday, pledged $60 billion in new development financing with no strings attached. Speaking through an interpreter, Mr. Xi denied his government is engaged in debt-trap diplomacy.
Government debt from China's interest-free loans due by the end of 2018 will be written off for indebted poor African countries, as well as for developing nations in the continent's interior and small island nations.
The Chinese leader told African leaders in Beijing China's cooperation is targeted at major bottlenecks to development and financing is not intended for vanity projects. The last session in 2015, China offered a separate $60 billion package. This is VOA News. A judge in Myanmar, also known as Burma, has found two Reuters journalists guilty of breaching a law on state secrets and sentenced each to 7 years in prison. The verdict drew international condemnation, especially in light of criticism over Myanmar's crackdown on Rohingya Muslims. Stephen Adler is Reuters' president and editor-in-chief.
We're really disappointed with the result. We're not surprised in the sense that they shouldn't have been arrested, they shouldn't have been indicted, they shouldn't have been convicted, and they certainly shouldn't have been sentenced to 7 years. There was absolutely no evidence against them.
The two journalists were investigating the killing of Rohingya villagers by security forces at the time of their arrest. The verdict from the Myanmar court came the same day new UN rights chief, former Chilean president Michelle Bachelet, took up her new post.
It is my first day. Of course, I'm not going to go into so many issues that probably I need to be briefed and I'll go into more depth. So I will speak to you on the other issues when I really feel that I'm ready to do it. But I just couldn't avoid saying something on the situation that I was shocked to today in the morning when I woke up and I learned that these two journalists from Reuters have been imposed a sentence of 7 years of jail.
She called for their immediate release. Bachelet also faces conflicts in Yemen, Syria, and crises in Venezuela and Nicaragua. In Yemen, the government has attempted to defuse protests over economic conditions by announcing a raise in public sector salaries as those protests spread. Meanwhile, Houthi rebels called for an international criminal court investigation into war crimes following a Saudi coalition airstrike last month that killed dozens of civilians. The rebel movement's Minister of Legal Affairs, Abdul Rahman al-Mukhtar, accused the coalition of targeting a bus full of students in the northwest. He said the coalition leadership bears criminal responsibility. A coalition spokesman Monday insisted the airstrike had a legitimate target, but there was an error in timing. Israeli soldiers shot and killed a knife-wielding Palestinian approaching a military checkpoint near Hebron and close to a Jewish settlement in the West Bank Monday. Eight people killed Monday in an explosion at a munitions factory near the South African city Cape Town. An investigation is underway as to the cause of that blast. In Nigeria, the death toll from an assault by suspected Boko Haram or Islamic State militants on a military base in northern Borno State has risen to nearly 50. Thursday's assault occurred in Zari Village. Meanwhile, at international donors' conference in Berlin Monday, more than $2.5 billion was pledged to help countries around the drought-plagued Lake Chad region fight Boko Haram. I'm Victor Beatty, VOA News.